Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Now, here's Craig.
Year-end review, 2023 edition. This is the audio of the sermon I shared at Calvary Assembly of God yesterday. In the show notes, I've shared the link to watch the video of the full message, and I've also shared some other helpful links.
Well, I like to take some time at the end of every year to kind of rehash and remind ourselves a little bit about what we covered during the year. I think it's important we make sure that we know what it is that we talked about, keep those memories solid. You know, I was just watching a seminar with a neuroscientist, and she was talking about a couple of things that our brains do every night when we're sleeping. Two things. One is, it looks at things in our short-term memory and says, how can we consolidate these things into long-term memories? There are already some, to use kind of a computer technology, terminology, I should say. Is there a file folder already we can put these memories in? Is this a new thing that we need to create? Is it something we're going to come back to again? So our brain begins to take these short-term memories and consolidate them into long-term memories. But the other thing our brain does is a little bit of pruning. It starts to look at some of the neural pathways, some of the memories that we don't go back to very often, and says, well, maybe we're not using this anymore. Our brains are really good at conserving energy, using the energy very wisely. And so, hey, here's some neural pathways that maybe we don't need to keep open any longer. Maybe we can start shutting this thing down. We can prune it a little bit because it's not being used. And when you go back and look in the Bible, you'll see a lot of times when the Israelites got themselves into trouble, you'll see a phrase close by. They forgot. They didn't keep that open. They didn't keep it at the forefront of their mind. And so, therefore, their physical brain started saying, well, maybe that's not important to you. And it started trimming those things. And so I think that it's important for us to remember the things. Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he says, I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again. I know that you know them, but let me remind you of them again. And then listen to what Peter said in this is his second letter. In the first chapter, he says this, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. And then in chapter 3, he reminds people, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. So he's already reminding them. I have written both of them to you as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. I want to remind you of those things. And then Paul really gave the same instructions to his protege and friend Timothy. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Keep coming back to them again and again. We need to remember these things. So one of the things that we've done for you for the past several years is we've created sort of a catalog. It's on my blog. It's on the church's website where if you just search for the words year-end review, and then you can find the year, but on every one of those pages, it will have just a short, like one paragraph synopsis of what a series of messages was. You can click on the name of that series, and then it will open up for you all of the messages that were in that series. You can read a really quick recap, probably take you 3 or 4 minutes to read that, or the video would be there as well if you want to watch the full sermon. So it's a good catalog for you to go back to, but it's also one that when you say to somebody who's maybe struggling in an area or wanting to grow in an area, hey, here's a spot that you could go and look a resource on this. So let me lead you through just a reminder of what do we look at in 2023, and because there's a lot of these lessons that we learned that we're going to go back to, we're going to still build on these things. I like to start at the beginning of the year talking about prayer, and this last year we called prayer an intimate conversation with Jesus, where he just said, I just want you to walk with me and talk with me. And you think about any relationship that you have in your life, what takes that relationship into a deeper level is the conversation. You have a conversation with somebody. You talk to them. You share what's on your heart. You listen to what's on their heart. You hear their thoughts. You share your thoughts. And you say, oh, yeah. And you start to, you get to a more intimate level as you're sharing those details. So we talked about really the three ways that we can walk with Jesus. We can walk with him as a father, a loving heavenly father, one that knows us, one that wants to hear from us. He says, this is, you know, your father has said, you pray, you can come to me and pray. Your heavenly father knows what you have need of before you even ask him, but he wants you to share your heart with him. And I love the promise that Jesus said, it's God's desire to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you these good things, but you walk with him and you learn from him and you ask him. We can also walk with Jesus as our brother, who's walked the same path. He was here on earth. The Bible said that he was subject to every temptation, every struggle that we'll ever have. So when we get to a spot where we're like, I don't know how to deal with this, I'm really stumped here, we walk with Jesus as our brother who's already walked that path and says, yes, I know what's down that path. I know how to help you. I want to intercede for you. We can also walk with God as our counselor. One of the great names that's given to the Holy Spirit, the one that comes alongside. That word, the Greek word, paraclete, literally means somebody who comes alongside. And so one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is take what's in God's word, take this inspired word, and then help us apply it to the situation we're in. We come to him as a counselor, but we start these conversations, and then he wants us to keep the conversations going. Not just say, and I use the analogy, if I just said to my wife, a Thursday night is date night, so I'm going to give you my undivided attention for 3 or 4 hours Thursday night, but then the rest of the week I'm kind of on my own time, you kind of do your thing, I'm going to do my thing. Where's that relationship going to go? This is kind of the same thing when we're walking with Jesus. He wants us to keep walking with him, not just say, hey, I'll give you a couple hours Sunday morning, or I'll give you 15, 20 minutes every morning when I maybe read my Bible and pray a little bit. But after that, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing. That you're going to stunt the intimacy that's there. So we looked at the example of Enoch, who said that he just walked with God and then disappeared. But I find it very interesting that it was 365 years that Enoch walked with God. And what a great reminder for us, 365 days, every day. Let's just walk with him. Let's find more ways that we can, how can we learn him as a father, as a brother, as a counselor? It's a great way to grow in our intimacy. We had a series that we went back to every month. Almost every month. We missed a couple of months throughout the year, but we looked at a Christian's mental health. And we took our key from this from Luke, who is a physician. And so he, as he records things in the scriptures, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he spots these things. But as a medical doctor, he spots some things through those eyes. And he sums up the growing up years of Jesus. So really from kind of age 12 to age 30, then just one verse, Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. If you want to think of it like as a pyramid, this is really how Luke writes it, is he grew at the foundation. He grew in wisdom, his mental health. Then that helped him make good decisions about growing in stature, his physical health. He grew in favor with God, his spiritual health. And at the peak is the relational help. He grew in favor with men. Now, I would have thought that the pinnacle would be spiritual health, right? But how do I really know what's here until I start interacting with other people? Until I get jostled by somebody? Till my buttons get pushed? Did that ever happen to Jesus? His buttons ever get pushed? People ever try to provoke him? What came out of him? And that it was always the good. You never saw Jesus having to go back to somebody later on and go, I apologize. My words were too harsh to you there. Will you forgive me? Will you give me another chance? Jesus handled all those perfectly. And so Luke tells us that it starts with him having this healthy mindset. And so we talked about strategies. We talked about how our minds just naturally go down well-worn paths. And so if we don't like where we end up at the end of the path, we need to pray this prayer that the Holy Spirit would help us forge a new path, make a new trail. I don't like how when I get poked this way, I end up over here. I don't like that. So help me to catch that and go, oh, wait a minute, I'm going down the well-worn path. That's just where my mind's going to naturally go. I need to go down a different path. Then we talked about the words that come out of our mouth. Jesus said, the words that come out just tell you what's in your heart. And those are like weeds. If you think about in your garden, when you see a weed, you can't just go, oh, it's just a little tiny weed. I'll just let it go. Letting it go is like the same thing as fertilizing it. Because you let that weed grow and the roots go deeper down and it becomes a lot harder to get out. And so when the words come out of our mouth, we shouldn't just go, oh, just a slip of the tongue. I'll do a better job controlling that next time. No, we need to say, oops, what's the root? What's in my heart? What's in my mind that prompted that word to come out? I need to pull that out. I need to deal with that. We talked about then tuning our voice in to the Holy Spirit. I use the analogy for you of when I used to play timpani. The way that I would tune those was hum the note while I was tuning the drum. And I knew that I had the right note when that skin head of the drum began to vibrate back to me, the note that I was humming. It's the same thing with we have God's word here and we tune our voice in. We say, what am I humming? What am I thinking? Is that in tune with what the Holy Spirit said here? I've got to tune that in. And then the other strategy we talked about is I have to listen to those thoughts that are out of tune, but I've got to talk back to them. That's what Paul said when he told us to capture our thoughts. He was really saying, wait a minute, why am I thinking this? Not just letting that thought run around. He said, capture every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Well, that means we got to grab it and go, wait a minute, thought, why are you here? Why am I thinking this thought? This thought is constantly pulling me down the wrong way. It makes me depressed every time I think about this. It makes me anxious. It makes me angry. Whatever it was, I need to capture that thought and I need to talk back to it. Then we talked about, just like we saw in that pyramid, we've got to check all of the inputs in our life. Because you know how they all interconnect. So physically, when I am physically tired, it affects everything else. I can't think very clearly when I'm tired. Spiritually, I try to read my Bible and I'm kind of nodding off, or you know, my thoughts are distracted as I'm reading that. What about relationally when I'm tired? You know, my patience gets a lot shorter. So I got to check all these inputs. So if I don't like what's going on, what is happening? Do I need to make a physical change? Maybe like going to see a medical doctor. Do I need a spiritual change? Maybe I need to go talk to a pastor. Maybe I need to sit down with a friend and have some one-on-one there. Help me out with this thing. All of these areas, we need to check these inputs because they all affect all of the other areas. We need to replace this thinking, TGIF, a lot of people live for that, just can't wait to get to Friday. But we need to say TGIT, thank God it's today. I don't have to wait till some point down the road to deal with it. You know, we're right on the verge of just turning the calendar to the start of a new year. And this is the time where a lot of people say, okay, I'm going to make some resolutions. And that's fine if you want to do that. But why wait for some arbitrary date? Well, I'll just, you know, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Now I can deal with this. Now I can, or I'll just, when it gets to January 1st, I'm going to make these changes. Why not do it today? God's help is for us today. So thank God it's today that I can make these changes. Let's not procrastinate and put these changes off. And we talked about looking at some of our emotions and making sure we get the proper perspective. You know, when you're on the roller coaster, the big highs, the big lows, we need to step back a little bit. How can I flatten that? How can I put this into perspective? Because a lot of times we look at something coming and we go, oh, this is going to be really big. And once we get through it, we look back and go, wasn't as bad as I thought. Next time we come up to the hill that we go, oh, this is really big, we need to go, whoa, hold on a second. Last time I thought it was really big and it turned out to not be that big. So let me step back and try to get some perspective on this. And then we talked about shifting our faith. It's to when we are fearful of something that may happen, hasn't happened, but we think it might happen, that's faith. We just have faith that something bad's going to happen, not something good. We need to switch this and say, why am I anxious about this? What is it that I can be assured about instead? We need to pay attention to all those. And then I love this one. This is a great way because it takes the focus off of us. Whenever I start to feel stressed, how can I bless somebody else? It takes the focus off my problem, off my issue, and I say, I want to go help somebody else. And then a lot of times you realize, you know, the things I'm dealing with aren't as bad as I thought that I when I see some of these issues that other people have. And it releases a lot of anxiety from us when we start focusing on others. How can we bless them? As we moved towards the Passion Week of Jesus, and you start getting towards this time where Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem and Calvary, we see a lot of things in the Gospels that seem to slow down. Like if you look at all of the words that are written in the Gospels, and then you take the amount of them that are focusing on the last week of Jesus' life, you'll see a lot more words written then. It's like, let's make sure that we don't miss this. Well, one of the things that we saw was that in this week, especially this kind of Passion Week, there was a lot of really bold claims that people made. You don't necessarily see a lot of them in other places in the Gospels. But right here at this time, people are making these claims. Now, as kids, you'll hear kids say it out loud. Somebody will say, you know, I can do such and so, such, and somebody will go, yeah, prove it. Now, as adults, we don't typically say that out loud, but a lot of times we say it inside of our head. Somebody goes, yeah, I can do this and this, and you're like, mm-hmm, sure you can. Right? Prove it to me. So that's what we looked at. One of the claims that we saw was the high priest Caiaphas. He goes, hey, I've got it all figured out. It's better if just one man dies. So let's just eliminate Jesus, get rid of this thorn in our side, and then everything will be great for us. We can keep on doing what we've been doing all along. But he didn't have the authority to back that up, right? Okay, I can maybe convince Pilate to have Jesus crucified, but he didn't have the authority to keep Jesus in the grave. So he made that claim, but he couldn't back it up. But then we see some of the claims that Jesus made. Like he said a couple of powerful I am statements to the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin. He said, I am God. To Pilate, the Roman governor, he said, I am a king. He's the only one that can have those bold claims and fulfill those claims where he can say, I'm in charge of everything in the spiritual realm, and I'm also in charge of everything in the physical realm as well. There's not one area that's outside of my oversight or my sovereignty to act on this. We see another really bold statement from Pilate, and really by extension, King Herod as well. Pilate says to the religious leaders, I can't find anything wrong with Jesus that would be worthy of the death penalty. I'm going to send him to King Herod, see if he can find anything. He comes back and he tells everybody, I didn't find anything wrong, and neither did King Herod. What an amazing statement. Because it wasn't for a lack of looking, and it wasn't that Jesus did all this stuff in secret. I mean, it's all laid out here for us. Everything was public, and we can't find anything wrong. We can't find one spot where he misspoke, where he offended somebody, where he violated something. I mean, think about our own lives. You don't have to look very hard to find out where I messed up on stuff. But here's all these people looking, and we can't find anything wrong? No, because Jesus had to be the perfect, sinless sacrifice for us. And so you have people that don't even believe that he's the Messiah, probably don't even believe in Jehovah God, that are saying, this guy, totally innocent, without sin, no fault in him. They affirmed even his perfection in there. Of course, we see the great claim from Jesus. I'm going to be crucified, but I am coming back to life. I will be resurrected. And we see that there as well. One of the things that stands out to me as Jesus addresses some of the complaints that people make or accusations, the slander, there were times that he spoke and he was very respectful in his boldness as he spoke. And there were other times that Jesus was completely silent. And I find his silence sometimes to be quite eloquent. Because for you and I, there are times that we can open our mouths and really undo everything There's going to be times that we need to say, no, respectfully, I need to be bold and speak up. And there's other times we just say, I'm going to be quiet, and just the eloquence of my silence can speak for me. And then shortly after Jesus' resurrection, he makes another bold claim where he looks at a kind of a ragtag group of people around him and says, I'm going to give you all of my authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel and tell people about me. You're entrusting this mission to those guys? But then I have to look in the mirror too and say, you're entrusting that mission to me? But he does. And so that's been a series that we've looked at for the last couple of summers, is that we can't really do this on our own. And that's why Jesus said, before you go do this, before you go into the world, stay here. I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit first so that you have the empowerment to do this. And it took place on that Pentecost Sunday. And that's why the term has been adopted. Somebody who is a Pentecostal Christian, somebody who says, I am reliant on the Holy Spirit. I can't do this on my own. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. And this last summer, we looked at a couple of different ways. One of the ways that we talked about this is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We said the Holy Spirit positions us, puts us in a place to be blessed in Christ, because then that blessing empowers us that we can take it to other people. So the Holy Spirit wants us to put us in a place where we're not limiting the blessings that God wants to pour in our lives. Not so that we can hoard them, but so that we can be a conduit. We can take those blessings to other people where they need it. Then we looked at what the Holy Spirit does for us is that helps us as believers in our unity, in our focus, in our faith, in our love for one another, because that's what speaks to people. When in a world that is so divided, you know, and I don't know even when it started, but you can go back through news stories and you'll start to see that, like, whenever, you know, the newspaper, the magazine, whatever, is writing out somebody's name, then they put in parentheses next to them. They define them. You know, they're a Democrat in this, you know, district or whatever, or they're a whatever. They always put this label, you know, got to put a tag on somebody, got to put a label, divide them up somewhere. Well, if you're over here, you've got to disagree with these people, or you've got to agree with these people. But one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us is bring this incredible unity among the body of Christ. It doesn't matter whether we're in the United States or somewhere around the world, what type of church we may attend, it is all the singular body of Christ. It is the singular church of Jesus Christ. He doesn't have a divided body. He doesn't have a divided bride. He has one, and the Holy Spirit helps us to be unified in our witness, our testimony. And then the other thing that we talked about is that the Holy Spirit is always working in us and on us so that he can work through us. And so it's an ongoing process, this sanctification, or as we said, the word saintification. He wants to bring out the saintly qualities in our lives as we move forward. Moving forward is one of the things that the main themes that we had as we looked at these Psalms of Ascent. The songs that the pilgrims sang as they journeyed to Jerusalem. Now, they physically were going up. Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level. So they journeying up. But it's also a call to us spiritually as well to not plateau, not flatline. I like where I am right now. I'm just going to stay right here. But there's a call for us to go up, go farther into God's presence, to keep on going. And this, I can almost imagine, you know, maybe a solo traveler started out from their village, or maybe it was a small family, and they would be singing one of these songs that are here. And then as they're journeying along, as the roads are heading towards Jerusalem, they hear in the distance, hey, somebody else is singing the same song over there that we're singing here. And then they start to come together. And by the time that they get into God's presence, it's this choir. It's this beautiful sound. And that's what becomes so beautiful. That's, again, part of our unity in our worship. But then we talked about how the word saints in the Bible is always plural. We need each other. I need you to bring out the saintliness in my life. You need me. Where it says Proverbs, Solomon says in Proverbs, it's iron sharpening iron. And so we talked about these spiritual disciplines, that we're doing these disciplines not so that we can, you know, have our badges down here. Hey, look at all these things that I do. Check out my list of spiritual disciplines. This is, I've done this and this and this. That's what the Pharisees did. But we do these spiritual disciplines so that I can get stronger, so that I have something to give to other saints. I want you to be doing these spiritual disciplines so that you get stronger, so that you have something to give to me. I want to be able to come to you with something. I want you to have something to bring to me. So we talked about Bible study, not just checking it off our list and just, okay, I've read my chapter for the day, but studying. Like, really, okay, God, what do you have to say to me here? What do I need to hear? And how sometimes something that stands out to us in our Bible study time might not necessarily be for us, but it might be through us for somebody else. Because we're with another saint that says, man, I'm kind of struggling with this. And you're like, I just read that in my Bible this morning. I got something to share with you, something that the Lord laid on my heart. We talked about solitude. That's not retreating. That's not running away. That's a very strategic step back. We see Jesus, Luke says it in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to solitary places where he could pray. Oh man, I just went through a really intense time. I'm drained. I need to have something to give to other people. I need to step back. I need a strategic pause. I need to get alone to get filled up again so that I have something to give. Think about when you're on the airplane. You'll hear them when they give those instructions. If you're traveling with a child, put your own oxygen mask on first. Right? You're trying to put it on the kid and you pass out. You're no good to anybody. The solitude is you stepping back, putting that oxygen on of God's presence. I need to be refreshed so that I can come out and I've got something else to be able to give. And then we kind of went through in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talked about the spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting and giving, that we need to do those in the right way. Those three things, especially, Jesus said about all three of them, don't do them so that people look at you and go, oh man, you are so super spiritual. Look how you're fasting. Look how you're giving. Look, oh man, your prayers are absolutely wonderful. He says, yeah, that's not why you do it. But we do need to have the time to do that, so that we have something to give. And then we talked about from James, the spiritual discipline of confession. Confession is just simply saying, I can't do this on my own. I'm not a self-made man. I'm not self-reliant. I need your help. I'm struggling here. Would you hold me accountable? Do you have some input that you could give to me? That's what confession is saying, I'm fallible and I need some help in doing this. And then as we moved into the Thanksgiving season, the season of giving thanks. This is our second year that we use this theme of the great attitude of gratitude. That's really kind of the GR of great and added to attitude. That's really what gratitude is. It is a great attitude. Gratitude sets people apart. When you are in a room full of grumbling people, complaining about how everything's going wrong, and then there's somebody that's upbeat and positive, you want to be around that person. You're around these grumblers, and it's really draining. They're like vampires. They just suck the life out of you. And so we want to distinguish ourselves. We want to stand out. So we talked about gratitude in three ways. We talked about gratitude being our shield. Things that would come at us that would steal our joy, how gratitude is the shield that protects our hearts from taking that negative stuff in. We talked about gratitude then as well as going on the offense. We talked about gratitude as a sword, how Jesus is pictured for us in Revelation of having the word of God in his mouth. The sword is in his mouth. And when those lies come, when those negative things come, we can use the truth of God's word, but we're thankful for the word that God has given to us. It's that gratitude. And then during those times that the stuff does get into our hearts, maybe it gets past the shield, we've been around those negative people, how gratitude is a shield, it's a sword, but gratitude is also a medicine. It's a great healing for us. And so we said our healing is in our thanking, when we're thanking God. And then, of course, we just wrapped up our series of looking at these titles that Jesus in his first advent and second advent that is coming, how he has earned, how he's proved that he's worthy of all these titles: King of the Nations, King of the Jews, King of Israel, King of Glory, King of all the earth, King of Heaven, and of course, the King of all Kings. Those are the titles that he's been given. Some of these series we're going to return to in this upcoming year. But one of the things that God has been laying on my heart over the last couple of months is I really want us to go deep in some scripture. And so we're going to use, for the most part, we're going to use the Gospel of Matthew. This thought here of Jesus as the King, that's what Matthew is showing. And since we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we want to walk with Jesus through the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to tie in the other Gospels as well that help support that. But that's where we're going to spend a lot of our time, is going through Matthew as citizens of this kingdom. How are we supposed to live with King Jesus? How are we supposed to follow what he said? So even as we go into January, our first series on prayer, we're going to stay for the most part in Matthew. What does Jesus say about how citizens of God's kingdom are supposed to pray? Really so glad that you're here. It's been an amazing 2023. Can't wait to see what God's got in store for 2024. If it gets too much better, I might burst, because sometimes I have to pinch myself. Man, I can't believe all these blessings that God pours out for us. So I count you guys as those blessings that we have. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Honestly, if I didn't pastor this church, I'd still come to this church. You guys are hands down, and this is attested to by, like, when I have friends or missionaries that come and visit, they always tell me, without fail, man, you've got a friendly church. I said, I know it. They're just great people to be around. So you encourage me in more ways than you could possibly know, that I could even possibly share. Just seeing you, your smiling faces every Sunday, is an encouragement to me as well. So thanks for being a part of our family. Why don't you stand with me, and let's pray today and wrap up 2023 in a time of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. It's been amazing. But we know that your resources aren't limited. You didn't expend everything that you had in this last year, and we're just going to get sort of the leftovers or just a few crumbs going into this next year. We know that you have more for us in store than we can imagine. So as the Apostle Paul prayed, we pray that for ourselves. Would you open our hearts and our minds that we could begin to comprehend a little bit more the length and depth and breadth and width of your greatness, of your love, of your grace, of your mercy, of all of this provision that you have for us. God, you want to pour your blessings into us so that we can be a blessing in the world. You've strategically placed all of us in the neighborhoods where we live and the jobs that we have, even the places where we run our weekly errands. Those relationships, those people in our life are there on purpose. That's our mission field. We want them to see and hear you and everything that we say and that we do. And so in order to do that, we need to be filled up with more and more of your presence. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be in that place where you have a greater blessing to pour into us, because we've created a greater capacity in our life to receive those blessings. I pray that as we go into this new year, that you would bless all my friends, that you would meet all of their needs according to your riches in glory, that you would give them all that they need with more to spare so they can be blessings to the people around them. Bless them and keep them, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. I love you. Have a wonderful start to your new year.
To get in touch with Craig, to read more posts, or to access the huge library of resources Craig has compiled, please check out craigtowens.com.